Ladies and gentlemen, let's speak to a very, very interesting man now called Paul Henderson, who I've spoke to before, but he's coming to Liverpool to actually have some free seminars, which we'll talk about. Why? Because he had a problem once with drink. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Pete.
Hello, Paul. Great to talk to you again.
And you?
I love, by the way, it's very poignant, the cover. It's you leaning against a glass of wine, drinking a bottle of wine, which honestly sums it up, doesn't it? It really does.
It certainly does, yeah.
Tell me your story.
Okay, well, basically, you know, to give you the quicker version of it, I started drinking, you know, quite young and whatever, and my drinking escalated. It escalated to such an extent that I was drinking two bottles of vodka a day when I could afford it. If I couldn't, I would drink anything I could get my hands on, basically. And this, at my worst point, included surgical spirits, methylated spirits, aftershave. I even got as low as spraying deodorant into my mouth to try and get some sort of kick from it, you know, to try and get a boost from that. So I went pretty low. I felt so out of control, Pete, that in the end, I started to take tablet overdoses, and I didn't want to kill myself. Like many people in them circumstances, I didn't know what was happening to me, and I found that if I was in hospital, it was about the only place I felt safe. If it was in a dry out, if it was in a rehab, it was the only place I felt safe. So I would actually take overdoses and tell people, which you can imagine how devastating that is to the people you love. And they would phone an ambulance and I would be taken off to a hospital. And it was the only place really that I felt safe. I felt quite institutionalized by that point, I think. And it just showed me how quickly drink can take everything away from you. You know, I ended up on spending my nights on rat-infested railway embankments here in Tewbrook, where I live. And, you know, that's come from a loving family, you know, and a good upbringing. So basically, drink took away. It took away my job. I was an entertainer at the time. It took away my job. It took away my family. And it took away, in the end, it took away my self-respect, my dignity. You know, it's a very insidious, insidious condition. I choose my words carefully there, Peter, because I'm not a great advocate of the disease or illness model of alcoholism, because I feel it's disempowering. And this is no disrespect to anybody who does, you know, who does believe in that. I believe, you know, a belief is just an idea that we hold to be true. I think, you know, if a belief either helps us or it impedes us. And for me, if I did advocate the disease model and say it was the disease for many years, but nowadays I find that disempowering. If I call alcoholism a disease or an illness, it's something impacting on me over which I have no control. And today, after 20 years sobriety, I don't believe that, Pete. I believe that, you know, it's a mechanism of escape. And I go into this in great detail in the book, explaining how it impacts on our brain. And I do believe it's a mechanism of escape. And when we take this attitude towards alcoholism, all of a sudden the power is back in our hands. And again, you know, I don't want to alienate anyone from AA, but I want to make it very clear. I was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous for 20 years. I was a group leader. I'm a great advocate of the AA tradition and the AA philosophy. And the stuff I've outlined in my book is basically to supplement and enhance, to work besides the AA program.
Tell me, you've told us the whole story, but you haven't told us why you became an alcoholic.
Right, and this is the million-dollar question, really. But again, in the book, I talk about the sobriety saboteurs, and I talk about basically the things that why people turn to drink. And I put them under four main headings: the futility, psychological pain, fear, and guilt. And for me, it was futility, Pete, the big one. I wondered what life was all about. I was in a band when I was young. We used to travel all over the country, and we used to play at festivals, and we achieved good things, great things. I thought I was the luckiest person in the world, doing the job I love with my best friends. And then we'd achieve things, and then all of a sudden I'd hit these real bad depressions, if you like, thinking, what's it all about? And when I drank, drink seemed to take that away. It seems to take put the edge on life. Although I was a confident person outwardly, I had quite low self-esteem inwardly. And, you know, drink affects the frontal lobes of our brain, basically. And when it does so, it makes us feel uninhibited, which is the seductive ploy, I think, of alcohol. It makes us feel uninhibited. And a simple way of putting that is we don't care. And that feeling of being carefree was the hook, I believe, for me with alcohol. I train a lot of therapists today as well, Pete, and also find that, you know, people use that when they've had, you know, maybe unresolved childhood issues, when they're immersed in guilt, which a lot of people with drink problems are because of the devastation he caused to the family. So it's very seductive when we drink because it makes us feel carefree and it also impairs our memory. So we've got a real seductive cocktail there to layer us in to set the trap for excessive drinking.
Drink has no boundaries, has it? There's no class distinction. With drink is drink, isn't it?
Certainly, certainly, most definitely.
It's quite frightening, that.
It is, yes, yeah. And I think people, you know, they have. Well, it's not so much nowadays, but they have this vision of the alcoholic being down and out in the street. Maybe the way I ended up on the rat-infested railway embankments and whatever. But, you know, I am going to meetings over years and whatever. And the people I have in therapy, you know, some of them have got top-class jobs, you know, important jobs. Some of them are even famous in their own ways, you know. And so, like you say, it's got no class distinction. And without, you know, inevitably it will take everything away from us, which is great in, you know, in the respect that we've finally got this this lottery money, you know, to help us and to get something out there to deal with people directly.
Now, what are you doing? Tell us about this.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, I spoke to you, I think it was last year, about my book, Alcoholic to Alchemist. And we used alchemist not in the sense of the medieval transforming base metals into gold, but contemporary meaning of alchemy really is transforming the mind, the mental and emotional debris of the mind into our psychological wealth. So I was given money from the lottery to transpose basically the philosophy that I've laid out in the book, to transpose it into first a website, which is doing fantastic, Pete, at the moment. We've got people visiting from all over the world, and I will give the URL, I'll give the website address out if it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's www.alc2alc.com. That is ALC, the number two, ALC.com. On the website, we've got well, the good things first about the website, obviously, there are a lot of people with drink problems, Pete, like you've just said. You know, there's a lot in jobs, they don't want to be known, they want to maintain their anonymity. So obviously the website's great for that, because only they know they're visiting there. It's available 24 hours, which people I've met, I've been to see people around here in Tubebrook who are on the streets, and they say, you know, they would like something available, they need something to be available 24 hours a day. The website's there for them. It's comprised of literally hundreds of audio presentations and video presentations. And we've got forums, we've got a live chat, we've got pages for alcoholism and the family. And I also do podcasts where I invite people to ask questions and I answer them over podcasts. So we've got 50 pages on the website. It's massive, Pete. And it will keep people who've got drink problems, it will keep them occupied for a long time. Also, I would like to stress that the information from the book and the information on the website has come from people with long-term sobriety, and there's a vast amount of experience. There's no hidden agendas to it, Pete. There's no money involved here. It's everything we're doing is free. There's just an honest desire to help people out there, which is a pact I made to myself. I thought, if I ever get out of this predicament, I'm going to do this. So we've been given the money. That's up and running. That's alc2alc.com. Also, some of that money is for a seminar, which we're holding at William Brown Street at the Central Library on the 3rd and 4th of October.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be on the fourth floor of Central Library. And that's a two-day event, Pete, starting at 10:15 to 4:45. Now, it's open to anybody interested in alcoholism, anybody suffering, anybody who's a therapist. It's open to anybody interested. But because of numbers, Pete, we must ask them to register. So if they would go to the website, to the and just drop them their details to me via email or the contact form on the website, or there is a phone number even.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up, like I say, October 3rd and 4th.
Why do you feel you need to do this?
Why do they feel I need to do it? I think because I go back, Pete, it's a long, long time. It's like a past life now, but 12 years of my life I lived in a predicament where I felt like I was possessed by some sort of demon. And in this place it was a demon, but the spirit was in a bottle. And I honestly thought, and I know a lot of people out there suffering will feel the same way, that there's absolutely nothing you can do about that. You're compelled to drink. There was no reason. And I believe I found a real practical and enlightening way of living a fantastic life without drink. And believe me, I do today, Pete. And I suppose it's purpose. I believe purpose in life is one of the great things that keeps me sober, Pete. And having this purpose each day to get up, and to put my work out there for the public, work that has helped me, work that has come not just from me. Sometimes I'm the messenger. It's come from other people who have also been long-term sober. And I just love the feeling of purpose in life, Pete. And I think it's a great asset to have. My way of looking is that people don't get up of a morning, throw the patio doors open and say, today I'm going to drink to destruction to lose everything. There's something radically wrong. It might be underlying, but there's something radically wrong. And I believe we've got to get at them aspects. You know, drinking's a symptom. We need to get at the catalyst. And the catalyst lay beneath the surface, quite often unconscious. And what I've done is supplied the tools, really, for us to get at that material. Why are we destructive? What can we do about it? And then laid like a life coaching system out to get people to get back in touch with what they value in life, Pete. You know, when we live a happy life, it's very unlikely we're going to turn to drink to destroy ourselves again. And I know this from personal experience, and personal experience of hundreds of people who are over 10 years sober as well.
To anybody listening now, and because it's late night radio, as you know, yeah, many, many alcoholics will be listening, and many, many people who don't even think they've got a problem, who have a problem.
Yeah.
That's one of the big problems, isn't it?
Of course,
that they don't know.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Well, all I would say to them, first of all, is, you know, a lot of people, like you say, Pete, I don't believe a lot of people don't know they have a problem. I believe a lot of people are in denial of it. Yeah. They know, but they protect it because they're terrified to give up. And what I'd like to say simply, really, is by abstaining from alcohol, you're giving nothing up, but you'll gain an awful lot. In fact, you'll reclaim your life, because when we drink to destruction, Pete, we have no life. We exist if we're lucky. I've lost some of my best friends. I got fed up of going to funerals through drink. And there's a fantastic life on offer. And we've laid the steps out there. We've laid instructions out to help people to gain the type of life that people like myself have been sober for a long time have today. And once again, Pete, that's a fantastic life.
I've got a friend.
Yeah.
I can say this because my friend doesn't listen. It doesn't matter what sex this friend
right.
is. I can see they have got a drink problem.
Yeah.
They can't see it, and nobody else. Everybody else can see it. They can't see it. We've tried to broach the subject. They don't want to know. They do not want to change their life. What the hell do we do about that?
Right. Again, that's a $1 million question, Pete. And unfortunately, you know, I think the most positive answer, although it sounds negative, is that you have to let go of them. You have to let them reach their bottom. I've been asked this question on many occasions, but what I like to do is let them people know I'm available and help is available there if they ever want it. But I think sometimes if we try to, I mean, lots of people become codependent. I've got a friend of myself who was very codependent with a brother, and she loved this brother, and she used to go down every day and do everything for him. But all of her good acts led to nothing in the end. He died, unfortunately. He was found dead after 18 days as well in his flat, you know. So really, no matter what we do, is not going to alter the course of that person's life until they want to alter the course themselves. So really, we're only going to drain ourselves. We're only going to destroy our life if we get hooked into them and try. But I do really think one thing we can do is say, look, if you ever feel like you do want help, there's this website, there's the AA meetings, you know, give them the information and then leave it with them. I think that's the only thing we can do, Pete.
What sort of people, what age group are welcome at this 2-day seminar?
Any age group. You said it before, there's no class distinction, there's no age distinction. We will take any age in. The only thing we ask, obviously, on the day, we ask people to refrain from drink, first and foremost. And we, although we've got the three suites in the Central Library, we've got the three seminar rooms opened up into one. The capacity is only 60 people for that. So we would need them to get in touch and just say, yes, we'd like to come along, and then we'll add them to the list. Also, Pete, before I forget, following subsequently from this seminar, I'm holding 10 weekly workshops. As well, 10 three-hour workshops each week following the seminar, so starting October. Again, they can get the details of when they will be on the website, which is alc2alc.com. I'll just spell that again. It's ALC, the number 2, ALC.com. All the details are on the events page, Pete.
And what we will do is put it on our directory. So if you go to City Talk's website, onto Pete Price's page, there is a directory there. So we will put all those details on there as well. So if you can't remember from this interview, they will be there forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
That's fantastic, Pete. Thank you.
It's ruined so many people's lives. What are your thoughts on people that just like a drink? I like a drink.
I mean, I wouldn't advocate this, but, you know, I become the taxi for people home, and I've been the bartender at times, Pete. I have no problem with people drinking. You know, I understand that there's nothing in it for me, but for people who can drink what we put in inverted commas normally, you know, we said before, it can take a couple of drinks can take the stress out of life. It affects our frontal lobes. It makes us uninhibited. It makes us a bit carefree. That can take the stress out of life. And stress is one of the main killers, you know, to the human species. So I'm not against. I'm all for people who can drink normal and want to drink. You know, that's fantastic.
Do you get, Paul, do you get annoyed with the supermarket selling cheap ale?
Well, I think, you know, there's probably issues with that, Pete, but I think that can get people perhaps dependent quicker. But people who are out to destroy themselves, I think there's deeper issues. And I think the cost of drink is not one of the main ones, in my particular opinion. That is. I mean, you know, people will find it. This has been proved time and time again. You put the prices up. People who have problems with drink will find that money and find the alcohol. Oh. I think the actual catalyst problem is much deeper rooted.
Tell me, at your low points, what made you, what possessed you, what even went through your mind to even think of drinking aftershave?
Right, yes, that's true. Basically, the withdrawals led me to that, I think, Pete. I used to get terrible withdrawals where my whole body will convulse, I would have fits. And I remember one time having no money, and I was in my bedroom at home here in Tubru, and I just thought, oh, I've got no money. And I remembered, it was quite funny in one way, I remember an ex-girlfriend bought me some aftershave from abroad. And when I smelt it, I said, that smells like whiskey. And funny enough, in the terrible condition I was in, I remembered that. I couldn't remember much else. And I remembered also that there was alcohol in aftershave. So it was desperate times then, Pete. And And so, you know, I took the aftershave, and it didn't particularly have any effect. But
Paul, do you believe that every one of us could become an alcoholic?
I do believe the capacity is there. I don't believe it's genetic, Pete, and I believe we all do have, you know, the genetic model, you know, is very flaky. Most people who've got, most parents who are alcoholic don't have kids who are alcoholic, and most alcoholics don't have parents who are alcoholic. So the genetic evidence is very flaky. Mm. And again, I think if we blame alcoholism on genetics, we're disempowering ourselves. We're saying there's nothing we can do about it. So I believe it is. I believe anybody who goes through stuff is open to alcoholism at any point in their life.
Paul, what do you want people to walk away after 2 free-day seminars at the Central Library on October the 3rd and 4th? What do you want them to walk away from it with?
Right, good question, Pete. Insight, dispelling a lot of what I call the myths about alcoholism. You know, the disease model, the illness model, and again, this is only my opinion, but it's the opinion of a lot of people who've been sober for a long time. I'd like to give them insight. I'd like to give them an explanation of what happens with the brain with alcohol, why it's so seductive, why it draws you in. I'd like them to go away with that insight. I'd also like them to go away very much with a strategy, or knowing that there's a strategy there for them to live life to their optimal potential. And believe me, Pete, no matter how low they've gone, you couldn't go much lower than I went without dying, basically. And to reach your optimal potential and have a fantastic life is in the grasp of anybody who's in the gutter today. And, you know, that's my solemn promise to people.
Was there one moment that was the lowest ever? Was there one thing that you can't ever take from your mind?
The lowest point for me is very prominent in my mind, Pete. I know there was worse situations, but I was done for drink driving on a number of occasions, which I'm not proud of. You know, we do one thing with drink, it takes away our faculty of reason, and so we're not reasonable people when we drink, really. And although I was much against drink and driving, once I drank, that went out the window sometimes. And I got done for drink and driving, and I was in a police cell, and I was withdrawn badly from drink, and I was shaking, and I couldn't get any water. I couldn't attract anyone's attention, and I knew I desperately needed water. And the only thing in there was a toilet. And I looked at it and I thought, I'm going to have to drink the toilet water, otherwise, you know, I knew I desperately needed water. And I thought, I looked up and something inside, a spark, Pete, said to me, I wasn't born this way. And it was then, at that point, I believe. The other point was when I was on that railway embankment and it was throwing it down rain, and you know, there was rats, you know, I could see the rats, even though it was pitch black, I could make them out, whatever. And that was good. And now, literally half a mile down the road, my family, who were distraught and loved me to bits, they were in the house, and they asked me not to come back while I was drinking, Pete, literally. So there was that, there was the guilt, the remorse, you know. I don't want all that back, Pete. And there is an alternative today. There's a good alternative. There's many alternatives, Pete. There's different paths that lead to the same outcome. I've got one to offer people, AA offer people. And sometimes with alcohol treatment, people get territorial. Mm. This is the only way. AA is the only way. You know, alcoholic to alchemist is the only way. Let's drop these boundaries, Pete, because we don't. We need an eclectic approach.
We need somebody, something, whatever, to get rid of alcoholism.
That's what we need, exactly.
To finish off, I want to leave a picture with people.
Yes.
And I want to leave the picture, and please be as descriptive as you want on a withdrawal.
Oof. Right. Let me give you an idea of the worst one I went through. I was lying in my bed, and the first thing I seen people faces at the windows and hallucinations. I got out of my bed, shaking from head to toe, hardly able to walk. I could see World War III going on in the streets, people handcuffed together, all sorts of fighting going on. It wasn't happening, Pete. It was an hallucination. I got back into bed, and the next thing I remember was my parents running into the room saying, get your coat on, there's an ambulance coming. And I felt like I'd been belted over the head with a large stick. I'd just gone out and conked out, basically. And I said, why, what's happening? And he said, Paul, we just come up. He said, your whole body was shaking, your whole bed was shaking, like a scene out of that film. its name escapes me at the moment, but your whole bed was shaking.
The Exorcist,
yes, that's the one. There was froth coming out your mouth, you know, your whole bed, your whole body was convulsing. And basically I was having a terrible fit. Then I was taken in an ambulance. I could hardly walk. A blanket was wrapped around me. And then you have to see psychologists, Peter. And on other occasions, I'd have my stomach pumped because I'd taken tablets. It was horrendous, Peter. I can't describe how bad it was.
So the two-day free seminar is on the 4th and 3rd, or 3rd and 4th of
October.
Of October at the Central Library.
Yeah.
Once again, how can they find the book?
The other thing I meant to mention, Pete, the book I've made just for the launch of the website, and, you know, thanks to the lottery funding, I've decided to make the book for a short while free of charge via a download from the website homepage. Mm-hmm. So there's an e-version of the book available for free now, and there's literally thousands of people have started to download that, so that's great.
Great.
And you can get hold of the book online. It's called Alcoholic to Alchemist. If you want to buy a copy of the book, it's in all the online stores. It's also available from William Brown Street Central Library. I've had people contact me this week, funny enough, that have been reading it from there, asking to come along to the seminar. So it's available online to buy. But if people have got your book readers, you know, e-readers, download it free from the site.
And they have to be, it's invitation only. You've got to register.
All you've got to do, really, all I want them to do is email me or drop me a phone call or whatever and just say, listen, we'd like to attend. Mm. First name is fine, Pete. Keep the anonymity and there'll be three of us.
Smash
That's it. All, just to keep, so we can keep a check on numbers.
Paul Henderson, thank you for joining me.
And thanks once again, Pete. That's been fantastic. Thank you.